Hello, before we get started with this episode, there were a few audio issues in the recording. Bear with us, thank you very much. In the year 1999, a show came out that changed the world forever. Digimon. Now two people journey back and rewatch the show in order to understand, are Digimon the champions? Are Digimon the ultimate? Hello, welcome back to Aaronmon and Belviamon Talk Digimon. So we're going to be going over episodes 13 through 16 today. The first episode was called Legend of Dizzy Destin. This is still a combination of season. So do you remember what happened in Legend of Dizzy Destin?
We finally have the episode where Patamon digivolves to Angemon.
Yeah, it's sort of the culmination of the season so far, where we're going to have our big showdown against Devimon, and we get a ton more backstory towards the end of this episode, which is interesting. But how do they sort of get to that fight with Devimon?
TK is in Primary Village with Patamon, where he gets attacked by Leomon and Ogremon.
They're trying to capture Patamon because he hasn't digivolved yet, so they think that they can take out the weakest one. Yeah. All the Digidestins will crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and Ty with their two Digimon, Gurumon and Greymon, are trying to hold him off until... I forget, is it Izzy or is it Mimi who remembers that you can use the Digivices to destroy the Black Gear inside of Leomon?
Yeah, it was one of those two, because Izzy and Mimi were also there with Ty and Matt.
Yeah. They sort of remember the fact that the Black Gears are incredibly weak to the Digivices, which, again, I said this before, I have no clue why Devimon keeps sending Leomon out there, because Leomon's been, that Black Gear's been joined Leomon like what, three times now? Like,
why do the good guys even need Digimon?
Basically.
Because, you know, they have the Digivices.
Yeah, basically exactly. Before we can tell, like the Digivice can destroy Black Gear itself. That should have solved all the problems. We're taking a long time to figure this out.
Yeah. Sticking the digital. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what happens after Leomon's Black Gear gets destroyed for the fourth time.
Okay, so they free Leomon from the Black Gears, and then Leomon explains the prophecy about the Digidestin. So the kids are apparently the saviors of the digital world. And they're all waiting for Patamon to digivolve, and it's their destiny to fight Devimon.
They had to save the Digi world from what was like Digi darkness, something silly like that.
Yeah, from the darkness.
Yeah. Oh, just the darkness. I thought it was like Digi darkness. I simply tossed them with Digi and everything.
Whichever. Yeah, makes sense.
They love tossing the word Digi in front of things to make sure that you know. This is all the digital world.
Digi eggs, digi snacks. I still keep thinking about the egg episode. Weird egg toppings.
Have you put maple syrup on your eggs yet?
No. Though McGriddle's a lot like it.
That is true. McGriddle's probably the closest thing to Mimi's special egg recipe.
Yeah.
Eat yourself one of those, and you basically, I'm eating like Mimi now. I'm eating it as American style. Mm-hmm. Which, really, enough, you're eating American style, because it's a McGriddle.
The group fights Devimon.
It's a pretty short fight, too, isn't it?
It can't be, because it's got to be the huge fight, you know, where Patamon involves Angemon, right?
Yeah, it's true. Oh, doesn't Devimon, absorb Ogremon at one point before the fight starts?
Yeah, and over the attack, jumping out of them.
Yeah, it's jumping out of his chest. He's like, haha, I'm here too. I'm going to hit you with my ogre club. But yeah.
Ogre chest missile.
Yes. But yeah, before Patamon evolves, all the rest of Digidestin have a real tough time fighting against Devimon. They are constantly having issues. They can't quite take him down.
Yeah, and then Devimon grabs Patamon, and everybody's like, no, Patamon, TK, no. And then everybody's like, oh, Patamon's digivolving.
Yes, and who is he digivolve into?
Angemon.
I kind of wonder why they went with Angemon rather than Angelmon. I do wonder why I decided to go with Anja. It seems so weird, because the entire time, when we were watching the episodes, and even the previous episodes that we were talking about, I kept referring to it as Angelmon, because I assumed that was his name. I assumed it was just going to be Angelmon, that's what I remembered being from when I was a kid. But when we get this episode, I suddenly realized it's not Angelmon, it's Angemon.
Yeah.
And I assume it's the same thing when we get to Angel Woman. I assume it's actually Angel Woman.
Yeah. There's so much build up to this too.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Patamon with the why can't I digivolve?
He's showing off his little Patamon teeth every time he talks.
I think it's the Tokomon that has the teeth.
Oh, you're right. It's Tokomon has those gigantic
gums.
Yeah,
real big gums. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Tokomon's all teeth. So what happens if the Devimon's defeated?
Okay, so it's Angemon fights Devimon, but as Devimon's being defeated, it's eating up all of Angemon's energy, so he's turning back into an egg, saying he'll be back.
Yeah, that's sad. It's supposed to be sort of a sad, tragic sacrifice, but this is a kid show. They make it more of a temporary sacrifice. Be more kid-friendly, rather than sort of your normal heroic sacrifice you'd have in like any other more mature show where the character would be gone forever. But they can't let him be gone forever. They let the kids know he'll be back.
Yeah, and with the Christian theme to it, you know, an angel being like, oh, I'll be back, don't worry, I'll be back.
There is definitely a lot of that, because again, like, it's literally an angel fighting a devil. It's not subtle at all.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing that I was thinking about with him going back to Digi-Egg, it's sort of like the way that sort of Tamagotchi and Digimon, once they sort of die, you can reset them and they become an egg again. But unlike sort of Tamagotchi and Digimon, where how you would raise them the second time around, they might become a different form. The show to keep them consistent, so it always stay the same form. It's always stay the same chain. He's gonna become Angemon again. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think that'd be interesting if they decide to instead sort of show off the whole Digimon toy thing by having his Digimon evolve a different way the second time around, but they decide not to go with that.
That's interesting lore.
Yeah.
But anyways, at the end of that episode, File Island goes back together, but then they get a hologram of this guy called Jedi, but in the show it sounds like Jedi, so...
I'm pretty sure that voice actor's saying Jedi by accident.
It makes sense, you know, because, like, he looks and acts like a Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, if you're the voice actor, you probably, when you read this word yourself, like, when you're reading off of a page, you might actually mispronounce it as Jedi, because Jedi is a word that he would have known. So he might have just said Jedi by accident. Because I'm almost positive when he's talking, he's saying Jedi and not Jedi.
Yeah. And just rolled with it.
Yeah. And there's no one corrected him. But like Jedi, he's just a sort of old man, ? Who's just there asking them, telling them that they need to head off to one of the other islands of Server in order to continue their quest to save the digital world, the evil Digimon, because there's more of them out there. So let's talk about the next episode. Next episode, which is called Departure for a New Continent. Mm-hmm. So, what happens here? Okay.
So, Jedi, or Jedi, starts talking to the group, wants them to travel to the continent as a server in order to defeat another enemy, and he talks to them about the crests and the tags and needing to get the crests and the tags over in server.
Yes, he's telling him about the newest piece of merch, the newest piece of Digimon merchandise that they're selling, the crests and the tags.
Collect them all.
Exactly. Like, I don't remember this particular piece of merch. I wonder if this the crest and tag merch ever came out in the United States. It's very clear by their design that they are definitely something that's like some sort of collectible. And why did they need the crest and tags for? Like, what was the sort of in-universe explanation of why they needed them?
Digivolve and Ultimate.
Yes, the Digivolve and Ultimate forms. But apparently the crest and tags were sort of hidden by Devimon across the entire world, which I gotta give to Devimon. This is the one smart thing that he did, which was he's like, okay, I gotta hide the way to get a Digivolve again somewhere far away. Although if I was Devimon, I would toss all of them to the bottom of the ocean because no one's getting them there. Yeah. Instead, he decided he was gonna just hide them in different locations.
Yeah, well, it was like the tags were like in a 7-Eleven in the bottom of the ocean, and that's in a later episode, and then the tags are all over the place.
Yeah, they are. And, like, we'll get to this later. When they find the crests are, like, sort of haphazardly found, which is really weird, I find. Because it's never, like, a quest that they go on. It's more or less like, oh, the crest is just nearby in this little cave over here. Okay.
Instead of burning it.
Yeah, we'll get to it later, but Devimon was not a very good at hiding things. He did not do a great job at that. But yeah, so how did they get off the island? Like, what's the sort of goal? Not goal. How did it get...
They're trying to find a way to get off the island. I think they build a raft at one point.
Yes, they build a raft, and I think all the good Digimon that they found along the way show up to help him build this raft. Like Centaurumon, Electmon, Mojimon, Fujimon, Miramon, and Yokomon all sort of show up to help him build this raft. I forget
what happens to the raft.
Oh, what happens to the raft? The raft gets destroyed almost immediately by Whalemon.
Oh, it was by Waymon.
Yeah,
by Waymon. I thought it could have been a storm or something. Yeah.
No. Waymon just sort of eats the raft the moment they get onto the ocean. Waymon just shows up and goes, "Chompa, chompa."
And he does it because there's still black gears around.
Yes. Which is something that, like, another one of those things that's definitely sort of influenced by a Christian religion is, like, it's Jonah and the whale. It's Waymon is eating their raft as they're going along. Because Waymon is that sort of giant, is a giant whale Digimon. But once they're eaten by Waymon, they realize that there's a black gear inside of his stomach. Because apparently he had a black gear as well. And then Sora climbs up there and uses the Digivice to destroy the black gear. Because again, they've now figured out that black gear is going to be destroyed by the Digivice. I believe this is the last time we see the black gears for the rest of the season. They no longer use that as a means of indicating that a Digimon's gone evil. I'm pretty sure all the rest of Digimon we see throughout the rest of the season are all just going to be just evil Digimon. So what happens after they get out of Waymon?
Yep, take them down to the 7-Eleven under the sea.
That's the 7-Eleven. Did they pick up anything else besides the tags? Did they pick up any food or anything? After they just get the tags. Again, it feels sort of anticlimactic to some extent that they get all the tags all at once. Like, I'm not I'm not really sure why, from a writing and narrative perspective, they decided to write it this way. Because I feel it's weird. Like, I feel like if I was going to do it this way, I would just not have tags at all. I'll just have the crest as a thing to look for, because why give them all the tags all at once? Like, I get it from a perspective of this is also probably a separate tour that they're selling, but do something different. Make the tags and crests together somewhere so they have to get both at the same time and not just give them all the tags. Like, it just feels weird to me from a narrative perspective.
And then I think it was Ikakumon that fought the mole type thing that was around the tags.
Yes, yes, he does. He takes him out. He hits him with his harpoon torpedo.
And I think Grimojamon had a black gear too.
Oh yeah, I think you're right. I think Grimojamon did have a black gear. He wasn't just a protector. He wasn't just like an evil protector of the 7-Eleven. He wasn't a 7-Eleven employee. He was black geared. He was forced to protect the 7-Eleven. I think it's a weird transition episode, but what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's a very, I'm not sure if it's like a weird transition episode, but it's just kind of like a transition episode, that could have had more hype to it.
So I didn't ask you, what do you think about them getting all the tags all at once? I know I gave my thoughts on it, but what were your thoughts on them sort of getting all the tags all at the same time?
I mean, it was fine. It was just, I just think the tags, they had to earn them. And it was just kind of like, oh, look at this. It's a tag.
Yeah.
And then they like grew into the tags, the attributes of the tags.
Yes, definitely. So let's head to the next episode. The next episode was called The Dark Network of Edamon. This is the episode we're going to be introduced to our new big bad for the next part of the season. As a kid, I was referred to him as Elvis Mon when I was a little kid, because of the fact that he had the sort of weird Elvis style look and feel to him, I always thought. But you said something interesting when we were watching the episode about like how you thought he sounded like, which I didn't even pick up on when I was young.
Kind of.
And you're absolutely right. He does have that sort of, hey, Bobby, style manner of speaking.
Yep.
So, what happens in this episode? What happens in the Dark Network of Edamon?
I think it was something like towards the end of the last episode, they started to look for this Koromon village. Village of Koromon, the thing that evolves into Agumon. So that anyways, they get to the Koromon village, don't see any Koromon there, and only find some evil Pagamon.
Oh, yes.
But the Pagamon tricked them, and the Pagamon welcomed them into the village and give them a feast or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that like all the bad guys in the show always sort of give the kids food first. They don't immediately try and capture them, attack them. They always like say like, hey, here's some food, here's a bath, here's some bed sleeping. Like, most of the villains are surprisingly polite initially. At least the ones that try and trick them by like being in the village and stuff.
Yeah, play on their hunger.
Yes, because they're constantly hungry. So what tips them off that the Pagamon are evil? Like, who gets tipped off first?
I think some point in the previous episode, the Digi-Egg digivolves to Tokomon. And so this current episode, all the people are like, oh, where's Tokomon? Where is he? And I think it was Agumon's, like, sense of smell. Gabumon's sense of smell that like, hey, where's all the Koromon? Where'd Tokomon go to? What's going on?
Yeah, like somehow all the kids completely ignore Agumon's warnings initially. And he's like, hey, this is supposed to be a village of Koromon, but I don't see any Koromon. Definitely smell them, but I don't see them. And no one even like acknowledges Agumon, which is horrible. Because it's not like they know what's going on. Not like the kids know what's going on. Like, Agumon's literally the only person who would know anything. And they completely ignore him.
Yeah.
I guess it's because they're hungry. And hunger beats, apparently, basic knowledge and basic thought. That's why they always say never make the big decisions while you're hungry, or else you're going to get kidnapped by Pogumon.
Yep.
Oh, there's something else interesting about the Pogumon. The Pogumon, like, talk in a weird way. In this episode, they sort of talk in unison in, like, rhyme. And I wonder, like, if that's something that is sort of a weird leftover from the original Japanese that sort of didn't come across perfectly in the English language version. Because it does feel really weird. If this is one of the sort of like cultural things that like I just don't get. Oh, but then who are the Pokemon working for?
They were working for Edamon.
Yeah, and like what's his introduction like? Like how do we see Edamon when he first sort of pops onto the scene?
I think he comes through on like some sort of tour bus kind of thing, or maybe like using the wires he has on the island to connect to like some sort of TV screen, and he shows up talking to him, and they're like, "Yes, boss, we got the Pokemon." You know, something like that.
Yeah. You're right. I think he's on a tour bus or something. Like, I think it's supposed to like be part of the musician theme. He's on like some sort of his like personal tour bus.
And the tour bus is connected to all the wires on the island.
Yeah. His dark network. And then they start having their fight. They have the fight against the not the Pogumon and not Edamon, the fight the guys who are in between there, Gazimons. The Gazimons, they start fighting the Gazimons because Agumon eventually realizes that the Koromon are somewhere hidden inside this, behind this waterfall. They've all been captured. And he starts fighting the Gazimon.
Yeah. He fights the Gazimon, he finds the Koromon, and he tries to dissolve the waterfall. He's like, Pack of breath. Instead of just attacking. He's got to say the name of the too.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think it's a smart idea because, like, he knows he can fight himself, so he's trying to send out a smoke signal.
Yeah, the smoke signal.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody was like, "Where's Aku? What's that smoke signal? Let's go look for Agumon."
And then one thing about that scene is that Pogumon, upon realizing that they figured everything out, they're like, we're just going to get out of here. Like, we're a baby form of these guys. We're not going to fight you. Like, we don't have a chance anyway, so we're just going to leave. Which I think is a smart move, because they would all definitely get their butts handed to them. So once they make it to the waterfall and help Agumon fight, Agumon devolves to Greymon, and then he easily defeats the Gazumon. The Digidesh manages to free Tokumon as well as the various Koromon. I'm saying Mon a lot. And everything is A-OK for now. Then Edamon shows up on his sort of giant hologram in the distance, and he uses his dark network to do something to them. What does he do to them?
He uses his music attack that like depowers everybody. before then, when they're in the cave, it was Travis
Curry. Yeah, you're right. He depowers them. I think I lost you for a second there.
Yeah. Also, Ty found the crest of Kerr.
Yeah, and this is sort of comes back to what I was saying before, that the crest is sort of kind of haphazardly around because he just finds it on the way out. On the way out of this cave, he gets Crest of Courage. I guess he was courageous this episode. But he wasn't even more courageous this episode than he was in previous episodes, really. So I feel like it was just given to him. So do you have any final thoughts on this episode? Yeah, when we get that nice little setup. So let's go on to the last episode we're talking about for this episode. The arrival of Skull Greymon. Yeah. So how does the episode kick off?
They're walking around. I forget where, but I assume it's a desert. Yeah, I think it's a desert because most of the scenes is walking the desert. Driving around in his tour bus in the desert, and then just starts glowing, and and that's where Adam tracks him, of course, in the Greymon.
Yeah. And is this the episode where they see that weird cactus illusion? Is it in this episode or is it the next one? I forget.
Yeah, I think the cactus might have been in the next episode.
Okay, yeah, you're definitely right. And Ty is stuffing Agumon full of food because Ty thinks that since he has his crest first, he's got to digivolve Agumon into Ultimate as soon as possible so they can defeat Edamon quickly. Ty thinks that he's going to rush the end of the season when it's going to be a slow walk there.
Yeah.
And they sort of find a Colosseum. They find a Colosseum, and inside the Colosseum there is a soccer field in the middle of this Colosseum. And Sora starts recalling how she used to play on the same soccer team as Ty when they were both a little bit younger. Because apparently where from they have sort of mixed soccer teams. And somehow Joe's the one who finds the tag this episode because Joe's tag starts glowing and there's a crest nearby somewhere in the soccer field. And Joe's like, oh, my crest is nearby.
What's the name of his crest? I forget. It was mentioned in a later episode.
Yeah, he has the crest of... What's crest it says? He has a crest of friendship.
Yeah. Reliability.
Oh, yes.
Because I think it was Matt that had friendship.
Yes, you're right. Yep, reliability.
Yeah.
Does he deserve the crest of reliability? I'm not sure. I guess he's reliable?
Yeah. I'm not sure how some of the crest fits all the people.
Yeah. And I guess, like, all the other crests sort of make sense, because I remember knowledge is definitely Izzy. Sincerity is memeing, which, I guess. Sword is love.
It's probably be sincere. Yeah. Mimi's got the, you know, the struggle to be sincere, which is like the woman's struggle, you know?
Yeah. And TK is hope, which TK being hope makes perfect sense because he's a little child. And children are hopeful. So while they're in the sort of the soccer field, Ty is gets angry at them because they're not working hard because Ty's been working Agumon hard, and he thinks everyone else should be working hard right now too. Which to me is definitely a, let's say, unclear motivation. That's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say that it definitely feels weird for Ty's character to some extent in this episode. Ty's character feels different than he normally feels. Where, like, he's just sort of now just sort of so super obsessed with trying to digivolve Agumon into Ultimate. Where he's typically the slightly more laid-back-ish character in most of the episodes. But I guess he got his quest first, so he wants to see what Ultimate Agumon looks like. And he gets to see at the end of this episode. Because...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that he's going to see soon because Edamon is going to send a Digimon to fight them. And who does Edamon send out?
Another Greymon.
Yeah, Edamon is an evil Greymon who's gonna try and take down the team. And so how's this fight go?
Ty's Greymon is moving slower because of all the food it's had, and he keeps pushing it to Digivolve, pushing it to Digivolve, pushing it to Digivolve until Greymon gets mad enough to Digivolve to Skull Greymon.
And what does Skull Greymon look like? Because this is such a weird looking Digimon.
Yeah, he's like a skeleton of Greymon, and then has like a missile on his back that's like a shark. One big orange shark missile.
He also sort of has like these sort of bones coming out of his, these like sort of two bones coming out of his back, like a kind of wing like as well.
Yeah.
And again, like, this goes back to my old thing where, like, sometimes Digimon Digievolution change don't make much sense because Skull Greymon looks so weird. It's absolutely weird.
But over design.
Yeah. But does Skull Greymon win the fight?
Yeah, and then he starts rampaging.
Yeah, and then he starts rampaging, starts attacking the kids. And the kids' own Digimon to fight against their own friend to try and take down Skull Greymon.
And it doesn't stop until Skull Greymon burns out from all his energy and then powers down to Coromon.
And this is one of the few times we actually get to see the fact that, and they sort of comment on, the reason why he became Skull Greymon is because they aren't taking care of their Digimon properly. And this is one of the few times it sort of really sort of plays into how the actual Digimon, the actual real game sort of worked, where depending on how you take care and raise your Digimon, determines which evolution path they go up. And I do wish they played around a little bit more with this concept in the show. They don't really come back this again in terms of like, if you don't take care of your Digimon properly, they'll digivolve into the wrong ultimate form and hate you and try and eat you. So you kids, you better take care of your Digimon properly.
Take care of those Tamagotchis properly.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's sort of the end of this episode where we get to the end and Ty sort of apologizes to Coromon, and telling Coromon it's not my fault. It's not his fault that he ran on a rampage. It's more my fault. I pushed you too hard. We gotta take care of our Digimon properly, kids. And one other thing I noticed is the fact that when he reverts back to Coromon, they switch voice actors, and it's the same voice actor as, I think it's either Mimi's or Sora's voice actor versus Coromon.
Yeah.
Which I do think is a very interesting choice to not keep the same chain.
And I think Digimon switch genders between forms.
They definitely sort of do, because they definitely sort of switch the voice acting voice actresses around between forms. Even though I do think they should have just sort of kept the exact same voice actor, voice actress as they move up in forms and had them sort of either pitch up or pitch down their voice. My guess is that a lot of the male voice actors can't pitch up enough their voices to compensate, so they decide to switch voice actors for the baby form, and sometimes even for the middle form as well. Yeah, I looked it up. It's the same voice. It's the same voice actress who voiced Mimi, Phyllis Sampler.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah. She passed away last year.
That was the other thing I was talking about. Yeah. Wait, last year?
Yep. July 1st, 2021.
Hmm.
But yeah, so what do you think of these four episodes as a whole?
The pace of the action is starting to pick up, but, they're just going from one bad guy to the next. Not giving the crests and tags more substance. It seems like killing time before the actual big bid.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. I do think that that the crests and tags do require a little more, should have had a little more effort put into them in terms of showing them off, how they're obtained, how they work. They just sort of are there. They're there because they have to be there because they are another toy that Bandai was selling. So they had to put it in there, and the writers didn't really think about them enough. How to integrate them a little bit better. But I do think that we are also getting a new Big Bad Edamon, who definitely seems very different than Devimon in a lot of ways. Where Devimon was sort of obsessed with the prophecies. Edamon just wants to destroy the kids because he wants to destroy the kids, it seems like. He doesn't really have some sort of a clear motivation yet. He's evil for the sake of being evil. Yeah. Oh, and one thing we didn't talk about is what Edamon's actual design and how he actually looks as a character.
Yeah, he's like an orange monkey, got a pompadour like Elvis, and he's got a Monzimon tied to his belt, like a stuffed Monzimon.
Yes. And I've actually looked this up before. I first assumed, because it's of Monzimon, that he was the ultimate form of Monzimon. And I looked it up. Monzimon's not even part of his chain.
Yeah.
He doesn't even evolve from Monzimon. Again, that's so weird for him to have a Monzimon in his belt when he does not evolve from that. Because I assumed that, he probably evolves from Monzimon. He evolves from Ogamon. Ogamon evolves into this guy. And he has none of Ogamon's attributes. He's not orange. He's not green. He doesn't have a club. He literally goes from a giant ogre to an ape with sunglasses. Which is kind of silly to me. Do you have any last thoughts, or should we end it here?
Yeah, we could probably end it. Just what it was.
Sounds great. That was Aramon and Belfiremon Talk Digimon. Thank you very much. Come by for the next one.